We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. There we go. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Mr. Rick Spain. How are you doing today, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm glad we got the iPad back.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
This is... If you guys could be in the inner workings of this, but, you know, as the saying goes, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
We're glad you could be here. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. If you would like to be put on the blessing book wheel for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is Seeing Beyond, Choosing to Look Past the Horizon by Gail McWilliams. And there's a foreword by Zig Ziglar. I think I covered it all.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I'm thinking about is, every time I come to the program, we have a sponsor, right? And it's our company that sponsors me talking. So that's kind of, you know, somebody out there that can sponsor me, please? So I don't have to sponsor myself.
We can move you to another day.
Oh, I am?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're calling for additional sponsors out there so that it doesn't think we're in a collusion here. I mean, in the world we live in today, folks, I just don't want you to discredit what's being said. Let's open up prayer. Enough said. Father, we love you. We give you praise. We bless you, Lord God. You're so good to us. Father, I thank you that you're with us no matter where us is, whether it's in the depths of darkness or whether it's on the mountaintop, Lord God, you never leave, never forsake. I'm so thankful. Father, I thank you for what you have to say this morning, and I thank you that you choose us to speak it. Father, I pray and pray in agreement with Monica that, Lord God, that you would just prepare us, open our eyes, open our ears. Father, bring in the people that need to hear this word. Father, touch the hearts, touch the minds, make this active in their life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I did forget something. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight is not in the building. However,
I was going to say something, but...
Yeah, I am so open for corrections.
Hey, we're going to talk over each other because I've been on this program long enough I can almost do what Monica does.
Give it. Come on. Give it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, today we're going to have Pastor Dwight, he's going to do the truth broadcasting. It's going to be in two parts, folks. So... you've got, if you want to get the second part, you've got to go back and pull that up. So it two parts. First part, you're getting the first part of the message, and you know, knowing him, he's just rambling on. He's rambling, just like Rick Spain. And so he may ramble right past that first, and then you're thinking, what? Stopping right here? No, there's a second part. So be sure, get both parts, and I promise you, it's going to be anointed. It's going to be something you need to hear.
Right on.
Good enough.
His title for today is Trust the Love.
Cool.
So we'll end this, and then we'll reset the iPad and come back with a word from Pastor White through the Truth Broadcast.
All right. You got anything to say, Tina?
She's like, I'm gonna stay out of that.
Hey guys, we have fun in here, you know. So what I want to do is I'm gonna give you the title of what we're gonna talk about today is the two questions. And if Miss Neva were in here this morning, she could probably tell you what the two questions are. This is something she's remembered that I've spoken before. It's something the Lord put in me. The two questions being, are you where you're supposed to be? And are you doing what you're intended to do? Those two questions. If you answer those two questions in an affirmative way, I don't care what your position or your standing in life, you will be successful. Without a doubt. So, you know, I want to go to 1 Kings, and I've got my phone today because I forgot my Bible. But that's all right because we got the Bible right here. I'm reading out of the Amplified. Yes. So, okay. No thanks. So it's want me to survey here. We don't want to survey. So we're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. So this is when Elijah had called fire down from heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice. It was one of the greatest miracles recorded in God's Word. At that point, all of the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth, they were all assembled there. And so after this, God had proven himself, then they killed all these prophets. And so Ahab and Jezebel were worshipers of Baal and Ashtoreth. So anyway, so this is what it's talking about here. Now, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me, and even more, if by this time tomorrow I don't make you make your life like the life of the one of them. Sorry, I didn't put my, let me put my glasses on. All right, and Elijah was afraid and arose and ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree and asked God that he might die. He says, it's enough now. Oh, my goodness. I got a lock here. Sorry. I've had enough, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down again. So here's Elijah, you know, the great prophet of God. He'd done many miracles up to this time. Israel was in rebellion. Rebellion against the God, the Most High God, their God, the God of Israel. They were following after the example which the king and the queen had laid before them. And so all the administration was imposing rules, imposing laws that you have to do this, you got to do that. And, you know, it's you got to think this way. If it has to do with what the Bible has to say, well, that's discriminatory, or it's what's the terms we use now? You know, it's anyway, what was going on is kind of like what's going on today. If we could transpose this period of time in Israel to where America is today, where common sense makes no sense. You know, what is being promoted has no long term I can't think of the word I want to say. No long term benefit. There it is. So, you know what, and so what's being imposed, you know, we're talking about race relations, you know, and what our president came before the Howard University and said the greatest problem in America is white nationalists, the greatest threat, you know. And so, you know, when he said that, I walked outside and I walked around my neighborhood, walked around my town, and, you know, I did a little traveling around. I'm looking for white nationalists. I hadn't found any yet. That's our greatest problem in America today. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, when you find them, can you let me see them too? You know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know what that does. I'm sorry, I'm getting on a soapbox here, but what that does is it promotes racism. And if you can't read behind what's being said, then you're going to follow what's being said. So the first question, are you where you're supposed to be? You know, this reminds me of some times in my life. There was a time when, I have relatives down in South Texas, and we go down there. And so we're coming back home. I'm driving in the lead, and my wife is taking up the rear. Took a pickup down there because in my trailer, because we wanted to do some work on Grandma's house. And so we're coming back, and mind you, I've got a big trailer on the back of my pickup. And so I'm thinking, you know, every time you drive through Austin, it's different. And so I thought, well, I'll just punch in my navigator on my pickup. And so I punch it in, and it gives me these options. Well, I'm looking, and it says fastest option. So I said, okay, I want to go fastest option. And so I punch it in, driving along. We get into Austin, and it's taking me in Austin, and I'm thinking, how can this be the fastest? So, but you know what? I'm being obedient, an obedient child, doing what it's telling me. And so, needless to say, it led us to a dead end. Now, remember, I'm pulling a trailer, big trailer. My wife's behind me. And so we come up. First, we're going through a little construction zone. We end up at a dead end. And, I mean, I can see the state capitol just right over there, about a half mile away. So this navigator's taking me there. You know, that was one time. Another time I remember is, you know, I've been on a lot of mission trips. And one year we went to Thailand. And so over in Thailand, that was probably my favorite, because I just seen the Spirit of God move in such supernatural ways, you know, and just the presence of God was just so sweet there. But anyway, we're coming back. Now, mind you, going to Thailand, that is 2 8-hour flights. So the first flight, you go from Thailand, Bangkok, into, and this time we went into London. And so we're in London. Well, we stop at the airport, and something happened to me in Thailand. I gained a little bit more than what I really wanted. And I don't know what it was, but it brought the urge of finding a bathroom real quick to my life. And so we get off the plane, and we're in Heathrow Airport in London. And so it's big, you know, you got to get on this trolley thing to get from point A to point B. And so we're waiting on the trolley, and man, it hit me. And I told the leader, I said, hey, I've got to go to the bathroom. And he assured me, we'll wait for you. We'll just catch the next one. And so, I'm hurrying to the bathroom, and I want you to know, guys, I almost made it. Clothes were sacrificed on that trip. Yes, they were. Okay. And so, take care of business. And oh, my gosh, something like that in an airport. Thankfully, there wasn't a lot of people coming in the bathroom. You know, it wasn't as bad as what it seems. And so I get my stuff all together, get cleaned up, and I'm coming back, and I get back to the trolley terminal, and they're gone. I didn't know where to go. And so, needless to say, I found them. I found them, and I let them know that I was not happy. They left me there. Okay. So, fast forward. All right. Another mission trip. We're going to Swaziland, Africa. Swaziland is landlocked in South Africa. It's a kingdom in South Africa. And so, we land in Johannesburg. And you got to realize that these intercontinental flights, there is no joy in them. You know, it's not comfortable. You know, when you get off, I can't sleep on those flights. And so get off, and so in South Africa, what we did is we rented vans. So these are three-cylinder Volkswagen vans, little minivans, European style. So we get these vans. Now, I had been on the same place 10 years earlier, and we did the same thing. We had the vans. And so the leader made me one of the drivers. Now, driving in South Africa is a challenge because South Africa is an English colony. And if you drive in England, you don't drive on the right side of the road. You drive on the left. That's the way it is in South Africa. So you drive on the left-hand side of the road. The steering wheel is on the right-hand side. Your gear shift, which it was a standard, gear shift's on the left. So you know the only thing that was the same was the gas and brake. So it's the same. And so anyway, I was pretty successful. I mean, I guess I probably had people praying a few times in my driving. But when we were coming back, this first trip, coming back and going back to the airport, Johannesburg, what happened is Johannesburg is 4.5 million people. It's big, big city. And we're on this like four-lane highway, traffic jam. There's four vans. And I'm either the third or the fourth van. And so all I'm thinking is I don't want to lose sight of that van in front of me. And so I'm staying pretty close there. Well, there's this lady next to me, and she's driving up beside me, and she's putting her blinker on wanting to get in there. And I'm saying, no, it's not going to happen. You know, I don't want to lose sight of that van. I don't know where we're going. And so she was persistent, and finally she just starts pulling over like I'm going to slow down. I didn't. And so she tapped our van with her vehicle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a wreck or anything. It's a tap. You know, it created probably a little dent in her car and a little dent in that van. Needless to say, when we got to the airport, and, you know, I was just fine saying, hey, I'm not going to lose sight of that person in front of me. And so, of course, I got reprimanded a little bit, but anyway. So that was the end of my driving career on mission trips. Okay, so this time we're getting off the plane, and it's amazing. You know, because when we get off the plane, what do you want to do? Go find a place to eat, because airplane food's not that good. Where does everyone want to go? Where do you think? You know, where do Americans want to go when they're in a foreign country? Something that's familiar. And everybody wants to go to McDonald's. Nothing against you if you eat at McDonald's, but I don't go to McDonald's here in America. Don't care for it. And so, anyway, we go to McDonald's, we get our burger, whatever we're going to eat. And so we're getting ready to leave. We got four vans. We're driving from Johannesburg to Swaziland. All right. And so there's four of us taken out. Mark's my driver, and we're the last van. So all three vans are getting out, and Mark's, you know, following just a little. Well, there's somebody wanted to pull out. Back out and get in line, and so Mark stops. I said, Mark, you better not do that. He said, oh, it'll be all right. Okay. And so he lets that lady back out and move on, you know, and we're going around the corner. Once we get around the corner and we get on to our turn, they're gone. They are gone. 4.5 million people in this city. It's a city, big. And so I say, well, let's just go ahead and turn. We know we got to turn to the right. And so we turn right, and we drive for a little bit. No luck in a city. Are you kidding? And so we're driving around a little bit, and finally we go back to McDonald's. We wait there for a little bit. Nobody comes back. And so I go in, and I'm asking for a map. Where can I get a map? Nobody knows where to get a map. This was before we had the maps on our phones and that kind of stuff. And so they have this little tourist deal that has the map of South Africa, and it shows Swaziland. It's got a few roads on it and this kind of stuff. And so it's not a map. It's like a tourist thing. And so we take this thing. Mark's the driver, I'm the navigator. Okay, so we're driving along, we hit the highway, and I said, well, it looks like we need to go left here, and we need to follow on around. And so we're driving along, and I'm reading this tourist thing here, and I said, well, it looks like we need to turn down this road. And so we do, and we're heading whatever direction that is. I don't know what direction. And so we're driving along, and the sun's going down. Now, remember, we've been on two 8-hour flights. Rick don't sleep well. Other people don't sleep well either. And so that sun's going down. It's just about, you know, it's dusk. And Mark said, Rick, I'm getting tired. back up a little bit. From some miracle of God, the leader made me the backup driver for this van. Never thought it would happen. I'm the backup driver. Mark says, I'm getting tired, Rick. Do you think you can drive? Okay, you got to know something about Rick Spain. There was no thinking about that. Sure, I can do it. So we're driving in South Africa, driving on a road. Now, let me give you a little picture of what this road was like. So you know the little two-lane roads. And you know, you got the roads with the shoulders on the side, you know, so you can kind of move back and forth. This didn't have that. It was two-lane roads, no shoulders. If you're pulling off, you're pulling off on the dirt. And so driving on the left-hand side now in the terrain we're in, it was real twisting back and forth. You know, so I'm driving this road on the left-hand side of the road, and I see people coming over a hill, you know, over here, and the lights are coming slowly towards me, and I'm just, tensing every muscle in my body and thinking, can we do this? You know, it's dark. And then when the lights are shining in your eyes, that just intensifies it. But anyway, so we're driving along and we're making it. And so we finally, we're driving on this little tourist road. And, oh, yeah, we have a stack of money, probably 10 inches, 10-inch stack of money on our van. A bunch of money. We're in South Africa. You know what? You want to trust people, but on the other hand, that's a lot of money. And so we're praying a lot. And, you know, God's given us what we need as we go. So we're driving along, and evidently we missed a turn, and it was kind of like Austin, Texas. You know what? We end up at a dead end. So we turn around, then we come to this convenience store. And I'm thinking, stop at the convenience store. Now, South Africa convenience store is not like ours. Much different. So we go in, and there's two natives in there. Or I go in. And remember, we got a bunch of money. And we're in the middle of nowhere. And so I asked the guys, I said, do you know how to get to Swaziland? They both looked at each other and shook their head and shrugged their shoulders. One thing about South Africa, the people that live there, unless you're in a big city, you don't know anything except for where you live. No maps. Couldn't get a map there. And so we get back in the vehicle, and so we finally find the road that we'd been on. And realize we got to make this turn. And so we made the turn. We're going along. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, we end up at the border of Swaziland. So we go through there. And I learned a lesson on this trip that, you know, I had my phone out. And, you know, you could take pictures at that time with a phone. And so I'm taking pictures. And all of a sudden, I have this border agent coming to me and saying, you can't do that. You can't take, don't do that. Don't do that at the border. They want to take your phone away from you. He said, just delete the pictures and you can have your phone. Okay, yes, sir. Anyway, so we go through everything. We got to go through customs and all that, and it's real primitive. And so we're back on the road again. So we get on the road and we're driving along, and we get to the city. It's you know, 50,000, 100,000 people. It's a pretty good size. Probably 100,000 because it is the capital of Swaziland. It's, Mbabwe, something like that, Mbabwe. And so Now, this is where we'd been 10 years earlier, and we're actually going to go stay at the same place. And so, as we're driving, this is 10 years later, driving along on this highway, and I'm starting to see a few things that's kind of clicking in my brain. And so I said, well, you know, I think we need to turn right here. And so we turn, and we're driving along, and it's not the right turn, guys. And so we see a policeman, though. And so we stop this policeman and say, hey, you know, we're lost. We're looking for this. I think it's like a Catholic place where you can stay. You know, he says, oh, yeah. He says, right over here. You just go here, and then you'll be there. And, you know, being a guy, I said, okay. Not knowing what here, and there meant. And so we get back on the highway, and we drive, you know, another mile back in the other direction. And I'm thinking, this is the exit. And so we get off on that exit. We pull up, and we're going up this hill. Swaziland is, it's like a Arkansas, eastern Oklahoma hills, pretty good size. It's just full of them. And so we're driving up this big old hill, and it's looking really familiar, and I'm saying, this is it. And so we're driving up the hill, the little mountain, and we get up to the very top, and it dead ends. You know, it turns right into this complex. And so we turn in, and I look, and I said, man, this is not it. So we turn around. I'm thinking, I know this is the road. Turn around. And as we go down the next turn, I see there is another turn. I said, well, let's go in this turn. So we go in the turn. Now, the whole complex had changed because they'd done some building, remodeling, this kind of stuff, a lot nicer. But we're driving along, and all of a sudden, we see three familiar vans. There they are, right there. And you know what? Everybody's standing out there. And I told Mark, I said, look, Mark, they're waiting on us. And so we get out, and we're all happy, and they're happy to see us. And I said, you know, why were you guys waiting out here on us? And they said, we weren't. We just got here. Wow, is right. And so I got to fast forward just to end this story. Fast forward to after the end of the trip, we're driving back to Johannesburg on the to the airport. And we're driving along, and I can't remember how I was talking to the leader because we were in different vehicles. But anyway, I did talk to him, and I mentioned us, you know, as we're driving back. It was nice big highway. It's like, wow, this is great, you know. And so I talked to my leader, and I said, I didn't even know you had a big highway like this to get to Swaziland. He said, well, that's the only way you can get there. I said, no, it's not. No prejudice, folks. No prejudice. But I'm going to tell you, our van was probably the only van full of white people that has ever been in that part of Africa. So, you know, it was an experience. Now, credit to the Africans. They're beautiful, beautiful people. South Africans, oh my gosh. They're wonderful. You know, it was a joy to be with them. So, you know, I'm not saying that there's anything bad about them. Under the circumstances, you just don't know. And so, you know, all that being said, this took me 25 minutes to tell you these stories. They're good, though, aren't they? Entertaining.